Welcome to Your Family Dog, a podcast dedicated to helping families love living with dogs. Here are your hosts, Julie Fudge-Smith and Colleen Pilar.
Hi, and welcome to Your Family Dog. I'm Julie Fudge-Smith, and I'm here, as usual, with Colleen Pilar. Now, we did an episode on my favorite things, and so I forced Colleen to think about what her favorite things are. And so this week is going to be all about Colleen's favorite things relating to canines and the dog world. So she has told me that they're very different from mine. So hopefully we're in for a real treat and we're going to learn something new about Colleen and about some other things in the dog world that maybe we hadn't thought of before. So Colleen, where do you want to start? What's your first favorite thing on your list?
Well, first I want to start with that sounds like such an easy question that it took me a week to come up with a list. So that makes me wonder, like, am I either the worst person for a dog to live with or am I just clueless about what's out? I don't know. It took me a week. But after a week, I do have a list of some things that I particularly have enjoyed lately in relation to dogs. So the first of my favorite things is a vegetable dicer. It's called the Vidalia Chop Wizard, and it's this extremely low-tech vegetable dicer. So the basic concept is it's like a 10-inch bowl, 10 by, you know, 3 or 4, so it's sort of this rectangular shape, and then it has a little grate, a little plastic sheet that has a metal grate built into it, and then you put hot dogs or dog treats or whatever it is on the grate. And then you close the lid, and just like those Play-Doh extruders that we might have had when we were little, it squeezes it through the grate and pop, you've got tiny little treats in the bottom of your bowl. I love the Vidalia Chop Wizard because I can just chop treats without my fingers holding a knife.
Yeah, I'm going to have to find mine. I have one hidden somewhere amongst all my dog paraphernalia. I forgot all about the Chop Wizard.
Yeah. I am a lazy, lazy trainer, but I'm a firm believer in having tiny treats. So I kind of love the Vidalia Chop Wizard because it does the work for me. It does not cut everything quite as well as you might have liked with a knife, but it's so fast that I'm absolutely willing to lower my sense of quality on that a little bit. And it has
cheese doesn't work as well in it. Cheese tends to get a little bit mushy.
However, I have used slightly thawed cheese and had more success with that. Cheese in the state between being just refrigerator cold and freezer cold is a little bit firm enough, I guess. It works pretty well for hot dogs. I can do hot dogs and some of the dog treats that are sold in the sausage casings, Natural Balance and some of those, which is nice. I like the Vidalia Chop Wizard, and we'll put a link to that in the show notes in case anyone did not understand my completely clear description of what this thing could possibly be.
The Chop Wizard. What a great name. I just kind of feel like I wish I'd come up with the name of Vidalia Chop Wizard. It just evokes so many creative things in my head. So I like that. So what's second on your list?
Second on my list is the Thunderdog dog tag silencer. Because I don't like jingly dog tags. They just bother me. And if they bother me, I think they might bother my dog to just walk around jingle, jingle, jingle all the time. Mm-hmm. So I've had dog tag silencers that were just like a little rubber rim that went around the actual tag. Mm-hmm. And those worked, but they eventually kind of harden and break off. And one day you think, my goodness, the dog is jingling. Why is that? And then you find the little carcass of the little rubber thing that has died. So I recently bought the Thundercover dog tag silencer, and it's basically a square pocket that you slip the dog tag into, and it's a rubbery plastic. So it's a translucent rubbery plastic, and you slip your dog tag into it, and it has a plastic ring as opposed to a metal ring. So when the plastic and the plastic ring are attached to your dog's collar, there's nothing to jingle. So I've actually liked that quite a bit. The one downside that I have found is that I don't know if it's from my dog sticking his head in wet grass and dew or being a sloppy drinker, but I have had a little bit of an issue with some mildew growing into the plastic over on the dog tag. So I have to make sure that the dog tag is very clean and readable. So that is unfortunate, but I now have a dark colored dog tag with light colored letters, and that is easy to read through this translucent little plastic square tag. So I have been enjoying the Thunder Dog dog tag silencer, which is made by the Thunder Shirt Company, and we all like Thunder shirts.
We do all like Thunder shirts. Designed by a Tellington Touch person. You know, there's another way to silence your dog tags. This is what Zuzu does. We lose them. So if you lose them, silences them perfectly. So that when you have a license from Ohio and a rabies tag from Maryland, it gives your mother something to do as she tries to replace all these tags. So it's an activity as well as a silencer. So, you know, you might talk to your dog about losing your tags because that's another great activity for you to do. And it does make them very quiet when you don't actually have them on your collar.
Yes. So. Well, I did finally give up on my cat's collar because I was sure that he needed a collar that could break away so that he would never be trapped by it. And once he realized his collar could break away, he made his collar break away repeatedly until I said, okay, you win. He is an indoor cat, so that's fine. But I always sort of thought he should have a collar and he should have a way of being identified, and he did not agree with me. So yes, losing the tags, losing the ID, it seems to be a pet thing from time to time.
It does.
Yes.
All right. So we have our veggie dicer and our collar or tag silencer.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
What else rocks Colleen's world here?
A carabiner clip. I love to keep a carabiner clip on the end of my leash because I almost never hold my leash. I wear my leash as a waist leash. And I know there are a zillion wonderful waist leashes out there. But the great thing about the carabiner is I just wrap it around my waist and then I can slide the leash through the clip. And then I wrap it one more time around that it's secure and it doesn't just slide loosely off my waist. The downside of that is, of course, if your dog pulls, you now are wearing a corset and it sucks your waist right in for you. But it is a nice, easy access that you can unhook and take the leash on and off very simply. You could also use this if you needed to tether your dog to a tree for a minute while you were loading things into the car. It's just really handy to have a carabiner clip on your leash. The other thing I do with my carabiner clip is I tie loaded poop bags onto the carabiner clip while I'm walking my dog, so I am not holding them in my hand. So with using the remainder of the plastic of the bag, I can make an additional knot, a second knot. A bag should always be tied first, and then tie it onto my carabiner clip so that I can hands-free walk the dog, not hold poop. Life is good. And we have been known to get as many as 3 poop bags tied to my carabiner clip on a particularly productive day. So carabiner clips, something that brings my life joy. Who knew? Aren't you glad you asked me?
I am, especially the graphic poop description. That was the best.
But that's part of walking a dog, isn't it?
It is. I'm going to come back to that in a minute. I do want to ask, is there a particular type of carabiner that you really like? I know there's the really inexpensive ones you can get at the grocery store, and I think those tend to break. Do you tend to get a more heavy-duty carabiner, or do you use the really inexpensive ones?
I use probably $1 more expensive than the really inexpensive ones. I want a good spring load, but I definitely am not using anything that would be like climber certified or anything that's like a good carabiner clip. I have probably spent $3.50 on my carabiner instead of $1.99 or $2.50, you know. So it's just an ordinary clip.
All right, then. Well, what I was going to say about poop bags, if I know that I am going in a circuit, so I'm going to come back by where my dog pooped, I will actually leave the bag there and pick it up on my way back because I don't feel a strong need to take my dog's poop on a walk. But if I'm not going to go on a circuit, then I will carry it with me. I can't imagine clipping it to my body, though. I just see...
You just don't trust the plastic, huh?
I don't trust the plastic, but, you know, I guess my feeling is kind of like the last thing I want is the dog poop bag to break and then have it smear all over my leg. But I may have to try it. I'm apparently a pessimist today. So I will try that and see if I indeed kind of come back and eat my words and say Colleen is brilliant and everyone should tie their poop bags to their waist.
I'm not sure we're going to create that trend. But I will tell you, I see the point about leaving the bag and coming back to it. However, when I'm walking my dog and I walk past a bag of poop that's somewhere, I don't know that you left it there.
True.
Intending to come back to it. So then my perspective is, somebody scooped their poop and then they left it there. They just left it there. Like, what do they think's happening to that? And I do know people who do it. So I know sometimes this is a, you know, intentionally abandoned poop. But I also know there are times that people just leave stuff and that
that's
can make neighbors angry too. So I think that's a decision point that we each have to know for our neighborhood of whether that works or doesn't work. Or you could get, you know, custom made poop bags that say property of Julie Smith. She will be returning. If this bag is not picked up in 30 minutes, call this number.
I like that idea. I did have one time when I was pet sitting, I did have a dog who pooped usually twice on a walk. So I'd always take two bags, right? Well, this particular time, this dog pooped three times and I'd already gotten rid of the bags. I'm standing there staring at it going, okay, now what do I do? And this little old lady from across the street turned, and the dog is still pooping, right? So I'm still trying to decide what I'm going to do. The little old lady from across the street screams at me, you're going to pick that up, you know? And I'm like, yes, I realize that, but I'm going, I don't have any more bags. So I ran into my hairdresser's, which was just down the street, and said, Leslie, give me a bag. So I had to go back and get it. That little lady was still standing there grimacing at me. So I do understand about the angry neighbors because I've actually had people yell at me when I have full intention of picking up my poop.
So, yeah.
Yes.
It's a tricky thing. I have a poop bag dispenser attached to my leash, but in my treat bag, which I do think you should take a treat bag on every walk. Amazingly enough, my clients do not always do that. All these years I've been saying, of course you're taking a treat bag. If you don't give a treat, so what? But if you want one, you've got it. So in my treat bag, I have the backup bag. For the, oh dear, my poop dispenser is empty. And what's interesting is I've had the same problem you've had, which is that even then with the backup bag, then I have a gift where it's like one too many. So I think I actually have four backup bags in my treat bag just in case, because that whole neighbor yelling at me thing is a pretty significant aversive for me.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I can't. I know it's so funny because I see that little old lady in Granville and I'll cross the street. Because, you know, I just don't want to be yelled at by her again or glared at. So,
yeah,
I get that. It is a real aversive. So,
yes.
Wow, this is a really long discussion on poop bags.
I know. And it's really supposed to be a discussion about carabiner clips. So, you know.
Yeah, which may solve all my
aren't you glad
problems.
You gave me a week to think about what my favorite things were?
I am. This is a fascinating discussion to me.
Oh dear.
But it's in some ways it's so indicative of the difference between you and I, which is why I think we're so complementary. I'm just like, I gotta have all this crap for my dogs. They need to try all this stuff because I think it's really cool. And so, you know, if I'm gonna recommend it to clients, my dogs certainly have to try every possible version of it, right? And you're like, I just want to make veggie treat dicing easier, and I need to clip my leash on me. So, you know, I kind of think you have the better life is simple approach that I might want to cultivate a little bit more of. So, do we have anything besides veggie dicers, silencers, and carabiner clips?
We have two more things that are just so amazing. You're going to be really impressed. I think what the word you might want to be thinking of to describe me is cheap.
Oh,
frugal
no,
might be it, but cheap might be the one, because my next item is something that was on my wish list for quite a while, but I never did anything about. It's a snuffle mat. And I had heard about snuffle mats, and I had seen snuffle mats, and I had seen people rave about snuffle mats, but I never actually got one. So I was telling a client that I thought the snuffle mat might be an option for her. She actually had two dogs, an older dog with some pretty significant mobility issues. So I said, well, this might be a fun interactive thing for Simone to keep her brain busy and make it, you know, right here in the space that she could easily do. And then she had an adolescent dog who just, you know, always needed something to keep his brain busy. So I was like, you know, a snuffle mat might be a great option for Simone and Lou. And she said, oh, where do you buy them? And I said, well, I think you can buy one on Amazon. But every time I ask someone where you buy them, they're like, oh, they're easy. You just make them. And that there's links to how you can make them. So I told her this. And then I looked up instructions for how to make a snuffle mat. And I sent her a link. And then she made one for me. And it was such a nice gift. I was just overwhelmed. I'm like, oh, I never meant for you to make one for me. But now I am the lucky recipient of a free snuffle mat. So if our listeners would like to make one, there are directions on the internet for how to make a snuffle mat, which is just basically fake fleece grass for your dog. You hide treats in it and your dog can snuffle through the fleece and find it. Or Amazon now sells one that you can get, and we can put a link to that in the show notes too.
Well, you know, this goes back to the last time, of course, we talked about gifts from clients, and you get snuffle mats and I get pig hearts. Yay!
And we both have really amazing clients, and both of them gave us something that we were pretty happy with.
So I'm thinking maybe frozen pig hearts. Maybe I can put them in the vegetable dicer.
Maybe. If we talked about, I imagine that will be another disgusting conversation on the Your Family Dog podcast.
That's right, because we had talked about maybe putting him in the panini maker, if I were to get a panini maker, or the waffle iron to, you know, sort of press them. But I'm thinking now maybe the vegetable dicer. I'll pull my vegetable dicer out and maybe put the pig hearts through there.
Yes, so, I do not think it will work, but okay, we will hear. So snuffle mat is the fourth thing on my list of things that make me happy. Okay. And then the final item that I was thinking of this week is a plastic water bottle. And a plastic water bottle can be used as an amazing funnel to fill up some of the dog toys that we have as food dispensing toys. So this week I used a funnel to fill up a squirrel dude with kibble. And I took a picture because I was thinking, oh yeah, I'm going to put this. So there will be a picture this week in the show notes of my poor little dog licking his lips while he looks and waits for me to take this ridiculous picture of his squirrel dude and the funnel. But sometimes sticking things into dog toys is kind of a pain. So just cutting the bottom off of a plastic water bottle is a great reuse option, that then the neck of the water bottle becomes this easy access funnel for you that you can, wide mouth funnel, you can jam into dog toys and fill up.
I do like that, because I was thinking about, I have a regular funnel, but I don't use it for that because the hole is
too narrow.
So the water bottle would be the perfect funnel. So,
and a water bottle carefully supervised with a few kibble or anything in it is just plain fun enrichment toy for dogs too. So they can crunch it and squeeze it and make noise with it. But it's not a toy that I want a dog to be left with.
Right. Kind of like Mr. Parmesan. Remember we talked about Mr. Parmesan?
That it's people might not remember Mr. Parmesan, but I remember Mr. Parmesan. So can you just tell our listeners again how amazing Mr. Parmesan is?
Mr. Parmesan is when you take a Parmesan cheese container that has the plastic lid that you can flip up one side and there's like three or four holes, and you flip the other side and it pours out. So what you do is you take off the lid that goes over the holes, and then you can duct tape down, or I think you just click it down anyway. Then you put kibble in there, screw it back on, and give it to the dog to roll around. It makes great noise and it crinkles, and the kibble comes out on a fairly random basis, and it makes a wonderful intelligence toy. But like the plastic water bottle, I would suggest that you supervise it, because it can break, and the plastic can break. But under supervision, it's a great toy, and it's certainly one that can easily be replaced if it should be destroyed. So anyway, mm-hmm. Mr. Parmesan is a great toy. And a client introduced me to Mr. Parmesan. This was not something that I invented. So, because I'm
too busy buying stuff. It was probably a cheapo client like me.
I think it was a little bit by accident, because I think they might have dropped one that had a little bit of cheese in it. And then the dog went, oh, this is really cool. And they went, wow, that would really work. So anyway, they're great clients. So love Mr. Parmesan. So, Colleen, I noticed there were no books on your list.
You're right. No, I did choose a book that that I particularly like, and it is Patricia McConnell's For the Love of a Dog, which mm-hmm. I think is amazing. Basically, everything Patricia McConnell does is amazing. But I particularly love the fear chapter in mm-hmm. For the Love of a Dog. The way that she describes how fear affects behavior and how it's changing the things that a dog does, I think is very, very helpful. And for a long time in my Relaxing Ratty Rovers class, I would encourage people to at least read the fear chapter. And then I found out people don't read. So I've stopped actually suggesting it. But it would be great. Maybe we could just beg Patricia McConnell to read that chapter as a podcast somewhere, and we could just send people the audio link and they could listen in the car. Because the book itself is just really, really important information for people who have a dog who's struggling with a behavior issue to help them understand some of that.
Yeah. So, it is. It's truly an amazing book. All of her books are amazing. I love at the end, the other end of the leash. I loved the Education of Will, which is her most recent one, which I went and heard her talk. She spent a day at the Ohio Veterinary Medical Association meeting, and it was the best part of the meeting for me was listening to Patricia McConnell talk, because she really is wonderful. And in it, she gave me a really good and deep understanding about what trauma is and what it does to people and to dogs. And when you really understand how trauma affects you, both short-term and long-term, then it makes a big difference in how you're going to treat your dog. It gives you that level of empathy that you really need for the long haul of getting your dog through a traumatic situation. So she's just wonderful. I do love For the Love of a Dog. So
I think her sense of empathy is probably what resonates most with both of us, because I think it's very easy for people to lack empathy for their dog when their dog is struggling with something. But it's also occasionally easy for dog trainers to lack empathy for their clients when their clients are struggling with their dog's behavior. And it's just hard. Sometimes it's hard. And I think Patricia McConnell does a great job of saying, sometimes it's hard, and then offer strategies for it. But really accepting and recognizing that, you know, it's okay to say this is hard for me, and it's okay for the rest of us to acknowledge that and try to meet you where you are and move forward.
Right, and to understand that sometimes that even in just saying that yes, this is hard, is a recognition that we're in here for the long haul. That this is not something that we can remedy as much as you'd like it. I don't have a magic wand. I cannot fix your dog overnight. I've got a client right now whose dog came from a hoarding situation, and we're talking months, years to hopefully help this dog come out of its shell. And so just even things like, you know, turning and looking at a person and not hunkering down in fear, but just, you know, not lowering my tail, not lowering my head, not hunching my shoulders and turning away. Instead, just looking at the person. That's a huge thing for this dog. And to try and, you know, keep that perspective can be really, really hard. It can be hard for the owner and hard for the client as well. So that's something that Patricia McConnell does help us to understand. So anything else, Colleen, on this great list? I feel like... I feel like such a spendthrift compared to my frugal friend who, it's not that I don't get creative with my, oh my goodness, look at my trash. See, I get creative with my dog. I let her empty my trash. So she
That's
loses
good,
tags.
And I bet she enjoyed it.
She did. And she's not, you know what she's done? She's actually done a really great job of sending it through the shredder. So that
That's
nobody
nice.
Is going to, you know, want to go through my trash and pick out my old bills and things. So thank you, Zuzu. It was really helpful of you to do that. I don't know what you're chewing now, but I'm sure it's something you're not supposed to chew. Even dog trainers have challenges with their own dogs.
Yes, indeed.
I do try to tell people, look, my dogs are not well behaved. Your dogs are probably better behaved than mine. Mine are good enough.
And you know what? Good enough is...
Good enough.
Perfect. I mean, yes. Like, really, as long as your dog is not driving you crazy, and as long as you're not driving your dog crazy, that's just happy. That's great, right? I don't think we need all dogs to be trained to this high level of precision. If you and your dog are loving it, then go for it. But good enough is family, isn't it?
It is. It is. It is. So, all right. Well, thank you, Colleen, for your favorite things. And we'll put links to, you know, plastic water bottles.
Exactly.
Carabiner clips.
Where to buy a plastic water bottle.
Water bottle.
Anywhere.
Anyway, that's right. The CVS, it has a great deal on them. So, all right. Well, thanks, Colleen. Always interesting to talk to you and find out your perspective on things. And we will see you next week.
Yes, indeed.
Thanks for listening to Your Family Dog. Got questions? Interesting ideas? Colleen and Julie would love to hear them. Call 614-349-1661 or visit www.yourfamilydogpodcast.com to share your thoughts.